Greetings again in the name of the Lord Jesus. From time to time, we have been sharing with you some of the spiritual qualities that God wants in the sacrifices we offer to Him. Our subject, in fact, is spiritual sacrifices we offer to the Lord. And it's very clear, and I've tried to emphasize this from message to message, it's very clear that we understand what we mean when we say the sacrifices we offer to God. The word sacrifice, as we have pointed out, is taken from the Old Testament. It's taken from the idea of the people of Israel bringing things to God, bringing animals to God, bringing gifts of wheat and other things to God. And God, especially in the Old Testament, emphasizes blood sacrifices. Sacrifices taken from their flocks, the very best of their flocks, and offered to God. And of course it was God's intention from the very beginning that not only would there be an outward show by the offering of a blood sacrifice, but that this outward show would be accompanied by an inward response to God, that deep in their hearts they would be worshiping before God. It was like they were kneeling and bowing themselves, prostrating themselves before God in humility and in submission and in obedience. And so it was never God's intention that the outward offering of sacrifices would ever be separated from the inward submission and humbling of themselves before God. Somehow in Israel, we pointed out, it came to be true that these people separated the two things. They continued throughout their history to offer blood sacrifices to God, even many blood sacrifices to God. Kings and others were tempted to take from the best of their herds and offer them to God. Their problem was they had used these as a substitute for heart responses to God. So I've tried to emphasize that I'm not trying to discourage you from going to church. I'm not trying to discourage you from giving to the support of the work. I'm not trying to discourage you from trying to live with good works before other people and trying to do these things. But I'm trying to say to you that in your hearts you still have to offer spiritual sacrifices to God. And if you do not offer these, nothing else you do will please God or will bring God's favor upon you. Now, one other thing I want to emphasize, and then I want to get into this again. And that is that some of you may not yet have trusted the Lord Jesus. I never want to leave this series without emphasizing that your relationship with God begins not through a church, not through sacraments or through some church observance. Your relationship begins when you come to the Lord Jesus as your only means of going to heaven. When you say, it's not my church, not your church, not anybody's church that can help to save me. It's not something I do in the church, not some observance I do. It's not some good work that I do, but it's only through the Lord Jesus that I can be saved. So if you have not yet come to the Lord Jesus, remember, you have to offer this sacrifice first to God. When you come to the Lord Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, the one through whom you need to come, you come to Him, you confess your sins, you ask Him for forgiveness of your sins, you ask Him to come into your heart and save you from your sins. That's where it begins. Now, today, for a few moments, I want to talk about the sacrifice of righteous living and walk before God. The sacrifice of righteous living and walk before God. You find this in a number of different places, and I want to turn to your attention now to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. And this is a very important passage because Israel was at that time in a very critical state. The nation of Israel in the north was about to be carried away. The nation of Judah in the south was about to be carried away. In other words, their time was going to come in just another 100 years when they too would be carried away. But now he is dealing in a time when the divided kingdom, the Israel kingdom in the north, composed of Ephraim and these other tribes, when they were just about to be carried away, just years from that time, they were going to be carried away by the Assyrians. And now he is coming to these people, coming to the people of Judah in the south. And he's saying, you people feel very, very self-righteous. You people feel that everything is all right with you and that there's no problem at all in your lives. Now, before we've talked about holiness, but now we're talking about righteous walk before God, how we treat other people and everything. He said, now you people are coming to me, and you're coming to me with this self-righteousness. In other words, don't you know that we're seeking you daily? Don't you know that we're still offering sacrifices before you? Don't you know that we still go up to the temple at these stated times and everything? Why are you talking to us like this? The people were asking God. And God is saying to him, saying to them, saying to whoever is listening, God is saying to them, because you're not walking righteously in the world. In other words, you're going through the forms. Not only are your hearts not right with me, and not only are you yourselves not in right relationship with me, but with others you're not in right relationship. And so God is saying, how can I accept your cry when you're not in right relationship with me? In verse 3 of chapter 58 of Isaiah, he says, why have we fasted, and you do not see? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no knowledge? And then he goes through a long, long list of the ways they have sinned against their fellow Israelites. There were poor people in the land. The rich people were selfish. They would not share with them anything they had. You'll notice even in the return of the people in Ezra and Nehemiah, the people were permitted to return finally from the Persian country. The Persians had conquered the Babylonians, and then they had taken over. And finally, under Cyrus, the king, the Israelites, some of them are permitted to return. And so you see Ezra and Nehemiah and others returning to the land to rebuild the temple. But immediately, these people again began to mistreat their fellow Israelites. The Israelites would come to Nehemiah, and he would say to Nehemiah, Nehemiah, our fellow Israelites are cheating us. They're loaning us money. They're putting slavery on us. They're taking our daughters and they're making bond slaves out of our daughters. The daughters are having to work for them for a lifetime. And this is the way they're treating us. And so Nehemiah had to judge these people. He called the people together and he said, immediately, this practice is going to stop. You're not going to loan out your money to your fellow Israelites. You're going to give it to them if need be. You're not going to put their sons and daughters in slavery simply because they're poor. You're going to start treating other people right. Now you will notice in the New Testament the same truths are being taught where the Lord Jesus was constantly teaching right relationships with other people. In other words, a righteous walk in the world. So that when people see us, they say people who deeply, deeply care. People who sacrifice of themselves for other people. People are asking God the question, what would Jesus want me to do in my relationships? I'm now making this broadcast from the campus of the academy. We're upstairs over the academy, and as I look out the window, I can see hundreds of students out there on the ball field playing and enjoying themselves. And the question would be, what would be a student's responsibility to another student? I've often spoken in chapel on this subject. What would be a student's responsibility? What would be a young person's responsibility in the senior high school of the academy? What would be a Bible school student's responsibility? No matter what age we might be, the question should still be, how would Jesus want me to act in relationship with other people? What would Jesus want me to do? How did he treat me in his sacrifice for me, in his great love for me, in his coming down from heaven to save me from sin? And now what does he expect of me as I live in this world? How could I treat other people? And so I say to even the small children, that God expects you, if you have trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, to treat other people right and to walk before them in a right lifestyle, so that people know that we belong to the Lord Jesus. Even Christians who are trying to win non-Christians to the Lord, these Christians are being observed. Nothing you say to a non-Christian will have any meaning if your life is not being lived in right relationship with other people. Even if people disagree with you in the very beginning, they will respect the kind of life you live. The fact that you care for other people, Christians or non-Christians, the fact that you reach out to them, you grieve with them when they have sorrow, you share with them when they have need, you reach out to them with problems they have of various kinds, they know you care. And this is a primary means, in fact, of bringing many of these people to the Lord Jesus, where the people can say, I have observed you for many years, and if this is what a Christian is, I want to be a Christian. And so my prayer for you is this, that like the Israelites of old, we might realize where we fail in this. They had to be reminded in places like Isaiah chapter 58 that they were failing in their walk before other people, and therefore that we might yield ourselves to God and we might truly reach out to other people, Christians and non-Christians alike, and have a sharing attitude with them. If you want to study this further, read in such passages as James chapter 2 and 1 John chapter 2, where he speaks of this love for other people and reaching out to people in their needs. May the Lord help you, each one, and bless you in your lives as you also follow Him in offering this spiritual sacrifice to God.